Happy Sabbath, Aro Church. Now I do something that I always do before I preach. Let us pray. Lord, now we have come to the time to study your words. If we have come to the time, Lord, when we need to feel the Holy Spirit in the church, in our hearts, Lord, that we understand the lesson, the words you have for us today. Open our hearts and our mind. Put everything that is not yours away, that you only will be here. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay. We just finished 10 days of prayer. I will ask you a very personal question. What have you all learned from it? What have you taken that will fit your individual needs? Sorry? Yes. One thing that touched me most in there, how much prayer we do. And we never get fed up. We never get tired. We pray 10 days of prayer. Nobody has complained that I've been waking up early. In actual fact, we were glad we learned to get up early. Right? The effect of prayer. 10 days of prayer. What have we studied during the 10 days of prayer? The lesson took us back to the altar. What is the altar? Back to the altar. In other words, back to there is nothing that will take you away from only the presence of God. When we go to the altar, where we come to church. In those days, there were the altar, a room and a place made to worship God. That's what it was. And when they go there, they go there. There's no carrying anything behind. That was the way to the altar. But the most important thing that come to me is the way we pray. How do we pray? Have we noticed that there are places or there are ways that we will need to improve in the way we pray? I will come in a minute on a few examples, a few models we have from the Bible. We pray when we have a need. But sometimes it's not complete. So, what does prayer mean for us? The Bible is full of prayers. People talk about prayers in different ways. This week we had 10 days of praying for each other. There is a lot of requests, needs, and for others. But then, what do? We go, the lesson takes us back to the altar, the Old Testament place where we talk about worship. How much worship do we bring with us when we pray? Are we praying, thinking at the same time what is going back or what will be coming forward? What I want, what I need? Do we worship? Worship is an essential part of prayer. When we recognize the power of God, the power of prayer. I am sure among the congregation today, there must have been at least a few of you who've experienced the power of prayer in your life. How often do we reflect back on it and say, I'm going back to the altar? I'm going to pray. Not just going back. How do we go forward from that altar after prayer? The power of prayer. We just read in Romans 8, 26, 27 what it says. Let's have another look at it. Can somebody read it for me, please? Romans 8, 26, 27. It's just been read, but it's good to repeat again.
Likewise, the Spirit also helps us our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for our people, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us in groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that sanctifies the heart knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he made an intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom we did foreknow, he also did predestine to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren.
All things work for those who love God. When you love someone, what do? You don't stay back and don't communicate. You communicate with the person, don't we? Who can say, I love you and I don't talk to you? If we love God, how often in our life do we talk to God? I will look at a few models later, but let us see. God is also there. He loves us. He communicates with us. Even if we don't, we will see. We will ask and see how God communicates. And what's the effect of prayer? The first question I will ask, how do we pray? What are the steps in prayer when we pray? What's the first thing we do? Yes. Let me tell you one thing. It's not only I do it sometimes too. I wake up in the morning, oh, I need to say my prayer. Just kneel down and pray and you finish and you say, oh, rush to the bathroom and do what we have. Is that a prayer? Or is that just a routine, a duty that I do every day? How do we pray? We also look at when do we pray? Again, you get up in the morning, quick, get everything, pray. Go to your house, your day's work. Night has come, kneel by your bed, you pray, you go to bed. How often, how many hours do we consecrate for prayer per day? How often do we stop during the day and we pray? How often? And why do we pray? Is there any reason why we have to pray? Do you you know, very often it's selfish. It's me. I have a need. I want to pray. I want to ask God to give me some money. I want to ask God to help me because I want to travel. I want to, I. Do we stop and think what God wants for me? What God wants for you? How do we know? So much so that prayer become a routine. The communication, the healthy spiritual communication lose. We just do the routine. We just sit down, kneel down and pray. We've done our duty, we are going now. When we come back, we close it, we've done our duty, we're going to bed now. But what does the Bible say? I did not put, I do apologize, I did not put the text here, but you will remind me, will remember. The Bible say, pray always. Pray in any situation. You put it time and place. Pray always. How do we pray? Not only when time or opportunity happen or any event. It's pray all the time. Now you will ask me, but what do I pray for? I don't have any need. Do we need a need? How often do we stop and say, this morning, how many of us have come and stopped in front of the door and said, oh, thank you, Lord, I am here safe. We are coming and saying, I have to warm this room, I have to do this. There are so many things that comes on our brain that take the essential that we need away. The Bible says pray. Pray always in any situation. We pray for our needs. We pray for other needs. Our needs could be physical needs. But let me tell you, our greatest need are our spiritual needs. I will take one of the examples that we have in the Bible, that if we just read the story as a story, we miss the point of prayer. Can you tell me who I'm going to talk about? Who knows the story of Paul? Does any one of you know the story of Paul? Who was Paul? Paul was a persecutor. Now, if you look back at the whole story, why was he persecuting others? Because of his belief. Because of what he believes, he thinks that everybody will have to believe. I have to persecute them according to what his belief, his religious belief was. Very little he knew that God was there watching him. Very little he knew that what he was doing was wrong. Persecution is not a way to deal with God's people. It's how God wants you to approach them and what will make you fit to approach them, if not the prayer. What happened in the road to Damascus? Let's read Acts 9. Okay, I'll read it. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciple of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from the and asked letters from him to the synagogue of Damascus, so that if found any who were in the way, whether men or women, he might bring them back bound to Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" Then the Lord says, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads." Verse 6, listen what he said. So he trembling and astonished and said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" Then the Lord says, "Arise and go to the city, and you will be told what to do." Here is Paul, very dedicated, devoted persecutor, thinking he was doing something good. What happened to him there? He was there chasing the Christian. Let me tell you one thing. The days are coming when this type of behavior will come, when the persecution will take place. Remember, we will be in the hands of the Lord, not in the hands of people. Paul was persecuting when he was confronted by God himself. One is, he heard the voice of the Lord. The communication starts now. And when we talk as prayer, as a communication, we will see how Paul will develop his prayer life. He asked, he inquired, "But who are you? Who are you?" And when the question was answered, which just Jesus made known whom he was, what did Paul do? What did he do? He surrendered. He gave himself to Christ. That where the reconciliation takes, he surrendered. That where his prayer life starts. And he asked God, what do we do when we pray? We ask, "But what do you want me to do? What can I do?" Not for him. He want what God want me to do. What Jesus at that time want him to do. The transformation that takes place in him at that time. When we meet Jesus, when we pray, do we think of transforming to me, to the image that you want me to be? When I walk down the road, now people, when he will be walking down in Damascus, in Antioch, or wherever he goes, people will recognize him. Is that the man who was persecuting the Christian? Now, he is the one who is preaching Christianity. What change has happened into his life? If not, the transformation comes from God. The transformation make him from a persecutor to a man of prayer. We can take a few examples on how he prays, but there is a lot of his prayers and it's difficult. It will be difficult to go through all of them. I see what he says. What happened in the church in Antioch? What do we see? Paul and those who were with him, what they were doing? They were praying. They were praying. There's no problem, there's no discussion, there's no beating or persecuting now. There is prayer. He prays. Let's see Acts 16:25-26. Can somebody read it for me? I want the congregation to read because then I can get the congregation to see. Yes.
But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening with them. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed.
What is happening here? What picture do we have here? Right? Now, Paul, the prisoner, the persecutor, found himself in prison because of the word of God. What did he do? They sang hymn and they prayed. That was their need. They were in prison. They need to have God. They need to come out of that prison. And how do they come? It's no question of fighting. It's no question of arguing. It's a question of praying. And he prayed. What happened? God shows his power. Shake the earth. We know what happened when we have earthquake. I don't know whether any one of you has had the chance to feel the soil under your feet shaking when there is earthquake. You feel like you're going. Now you can imagine what that quake was for the door of the prison to be opened. And said, now you are free. Prayer. They were praying and singing. The power of prayer. We pray, but very often we don't concentrate on what the power of prayer is. When we believe in the power of prayer, when we believe in what God can do, our prayer becomes much more effective. That's what we call the trust, the faith. In Acts 28, it talks also about the power of prayer. How God delivers people. How God saved by his power. There is an author, I think you probably have read about it. Heyer, Jim Heyer. Who's read the book by Jim Heyer? It says transformation. That man was one of the worst killer, if I can say. They were hiding. They were hiding into the mountains. The only way they know that the police won't stop them, won't know where they are, is to put prayer in front of their hidings. They put church. Now they decide, what church are we going to put? Lutheran? No, there are too many Lutherans here. Then they decided they're going to put Seventh-day Adventists because Seventh-day Adventists were not very well known. A group, what they do then, look, you know, what happened then, they decided, but if they put church, and then people must hear that they are singing him and they are praying. But they don't know how to pray. They don't know how to sing him. Until the youth, a group of youth come and realize what was going there. And those men, what they were doing, they were going and dressing themselves up, make them pretend that they are preaching, pretend that they are in the church. But behind, there was the guns, the bombs. A group of young people passed by and realized, oh, there is a church, let's go in. They went in. And they happened to get those men to be able to assist, if I can say, to one of the meeting to start learning to pray. But those men were not interested in praying. They were starting in the killing and in the whatever they do. When police realized, police lock the place. And the men's, the youth cannot come. And the people don't want their youth to go. And you know, those men says, no, let them come. We will protect them with our gun. They open the door. And those youth teach them, work with them, pray with them. That man became a preacher. He went around and he preached. He's a Seventh-day Adventist now. And there is a long story. You have to read it and to see his own testimony. But how prayer, because they know the only way that will stop them from being caught was to make people believe they are praying. But God works on it and make them pray. And they learn to pray. They have problems, but they pray and they become people of God. Paul says, keep praying always. What do we pray and who do we pray for? Not only for us, not only for me. Pray for others. How do we pray for others? The strength to accept God in our life, to accept God in the life. We have the healing. We have a lot of topics we can go and ask for. But it says, Thessalonians 5, 17 and 18 says, pray without ceasing. Pray always for us and for the whole church and for the world. We are living in a time where it will be hard. Unless we practice that pray without ceasing. Remember, when the time of persecution comes, what are we going to do? Unless we develop this habit of praying, it will be difficult to face the time of trials. Be with God now. Be with him. Paul has suffered and he still, there's a lot of prayers you can see in the book, all of his book, how he prayed. In the church, outside the church, everywhere. Pray to the Thessalonians, he says, in Thessalonians 5, 17, 18, you will see it says, pray without ceasing. Pray separate. Pray in groups. Don't wait until we are in church to pray. And don't say, when I leave church and I go home, I pray. Both, we have to pray in groups as well as individual in the church. Now, there is another, let's forget a bit about Paul now. We look at another example. Tell me, what's the example of somebody who prays all the time? and the way he prays. Jesus himself. Let's look, read Luke 9:28. Who find it first can read. What does this tell you? Get away from the trouble, from the noise, from everything of this world. Go up in the mountain. Isolate yourself where there be only God and you, God and me, God and us, and pray. Don't let the noise around us be distracting us. Come close to God. We have in Matthew talk about prayer in the garden. When Jesus took his disciples and he went into the garden to pray, leave behind what is going to disturb you. Leave behind what is going to distract. Look, when we'll be face to face with God. For another advice of Paul when he says, remember others, Jesus, remember us. Communication with God is it can be personal. It can be individual or to the group. But it's also talk about for others. Pray for our need. Remember the power. And God promised in Isaiah 58, verse 9, it says, then you shall call and the Lord will answer. You shall cry and he will say, here I am. If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking of wickedness, God will say, here I am. If only we take away everything from our midst, the yoke from our midst. Consider, how do we pray? Who do we pray for? When do we pray? I will give you a Ellen G. White quoting when it was talking about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. That's another subject of prayer that we have to do now. The time will become when we will need the Holy Spirit, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Ellen White says, persevering prayer for the outpouring of the latter rain, we must press our petition to the throne and continue to pray without ceasing. God is telling us, you can open the door of heaven, but the key to open the door of heaven is what? Prayer, the storehouse. We have learned this morning. We need to have a key, and the key is prayer. Morning, first thing, that's the first breakfast we have, the first food, pray. During the day, whenever we walk, think. God is here. He's seeing me. He's watching me. I must pray. I must communicate with him. Communicate. Continue the day with God with us. Go to bed. Say prayer. So whatever we do, wherever we are, remember The only communication that we can communicate with God, the reading is not enough. We have to talk to Him. Paul talked to Him, what can I do? And God gave him the answer. All those, the talk. Jesus went out on the mountain to talk to His Father. We are here. We must talk too. Jesus will listen to us. May God bless you all.